Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Man is created an embodiment of needs. At birth, he is totally dependent. At death, he is again totally dependent. In his life, he comes across many hurdles and he understands the levels of his dependence. The state of the dependence is such that a dentist needs a dentist. He's got a tooth problem. Can he sort himself? Root canal. Extraction. Put a pipe, pull it out. Okay, do it. Optician requires an optician. So at no time man can say that I'm totally independent. And Allah Ta'ala is impressing upon us His design. This is my design. You follow my design, it will work well for you. But you try and work your own plan, then after 100 years, you will come back to the plan of Allah Ta'ala. You will have to come back. But the simple thing is, why don't you conform to the plan of Allah Ta'ala from the beginning? Go and experiment 100 years, 1,000,000 years, and then you have to come back to the same point. So He's created us, and He's created us total needs. So when He's created us like this, then He wants us to cry to Him. He wants us to humble ourselves. He wants us that we beseech His help, His assistance. Small problems, big problems. Sometimes some small thing gets stuck into the teeth and then you feel so miserable until that thing is pulled out. Just a small little thing. Then you say, hey, what a stupid thing like this. And this small little thing made me feel so miserable. So it's a plan of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala wants you to recognize your weakness. Understand who you are. Antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. You are totally dependent. Totally, at any given time, you are totally dependent. Wallahu huwal ghaniyul hamid. It is only Allah Ta'ala that is free of all needs and worthy of all praise. You praise Him or you don't praise Him, He is still worthy of all praise. And the state of His treasure is such that if He were to give the first person on earth right until the last person. Now the earth got 8 billion people, right? So, say for the last 10,000 years, to the next 10,000 years, right? All the people, every era will have so many billion people. So count all of that is reaching to say 10 trillion, right? And all these 10 trillion people were to ask Allah Ta'ala all what they wanted. And say, they wanted, each person wanted the earth full of gold, means from the surface of the earth touching the sky, all gold. Then too, it won't make a dent in the treasure of Allah Ta'ala, not even a drop of an ocean, what He's got. So by Him, there is no delay. The delay is our side. Are we asking like we're supposed to be asking? Are we begging like we're supposed to be begging? Are we humbling ourselves in the way we're supposed to be humbling ourselves? One person reached a little level of piety. Like, you know, Ramadan comes, so you become a little more pious. More zikr, more Quran Sharif. And then you think now, hey, I'm moving now. So Ramadan came and he thought to himself that I'm moving. So he says to Allah Ta'ala, try me, I'm on. You try me. See, I'm really on now. The next day, he got up with a prostrate problem. Can't make pisab. Now I saw that. First time I saw a person with a prostrate problem and how he suffers. You're like, his life is coming out. Can't. Bilkul bechen. Totally. Uneasy. Restless. Going from pillar to post, So he understood that I made it clean. And Allah Pak doesn't like this. لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Why do you make claims about things that you cannot practice, you cannot stand upon it? Don't make these type of claims. So there are two words in Arabic. One is da'wa and one is du'a. Right? One is da'wa, one is du'a, and the third word is da'wat. Right? So da'wa Allah Pak doesn't like. Da'wat he wants you to engage in, and du'a he wants you to engage in. But da'wa, don't make it da'wa. You make a da'wa claim of a certain thing when you don't know what your future is like. What the future holds for you, I don't know, you don't know. Nobody knows. Ma adri ma yuf'alu bi wala bikum. Even Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that. Ma adri ma yuf'alu bi wala bikum. I don't know what the future holds for me, nor do I know what the future holds for you. When he made this type of an announcement, then where do we stand? So this da'wah Allah Pak doesn't like. This ayat was revealed at the time when some people said, had we known what Allah Pak likes, we would have strived with might and main, and we would have done that. And the verse came, لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Why do you make claims about things that you cannot stand up to? You cannot stand up to this claim, don't make this. One person, great Muhaddis, I won't mention his name. So, he says, Alhamdulillah, I haven't missed my Takbir Ula for so many years, 25, 30 years, never. And he forgot to add Alhamdulillah by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. As he got up, like he doesn't know where his shoes are. Here, he made a claim that I got it for so long. Now he doesn't know where his shoes are. And as he got up, he saw that the namaz is over. So, this claims Allah Pak doesn't like. Yes, you see, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, by the fazl of Allah Ta'ala. So, this verse comes in two places in the Quran Sharif. I'll explain in the class today. One in maqam-e mazammat and one maqam-e madah. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ قَوْمُ لَا تَفْرَحْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ. So it's about Qarun, and he came out exhibiting all his wealth, treasures, wealth, diamonds, pearls, and so much he had, so much, just the keys to the treasures were so weighty that people couldn't carry it. Strong-bodied group of men, they can't carry only the treasures of his key, of his the keys of his treasures. So he came out with all the glitter and the glamour of all his beauty and all his... People began to say, also, يَا لَيْتَ لَنَا مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ قَارُونَ. Had we only been blessed like how Qarun was blessed. And now he is a cousin of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. He is a cousin of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. About the second or the third person that memorized the whole Torah. So there was no Hafiz of the Torah, he was the second or the third person that memorized the Torah. Cousin, learned, education he was not short of, wealth he was not short of, but then he came out boastful, came out with an attitude. And his people are warning him, La tafrah, don't be boastful. That's why everything has got a certain asar. And as long as it's got that asar, it's got that effect, it's got the value. If you got a rose, the rose has got a certain effect, right? A texture, a form, a look, and a fragrance. Got a fragrance, it's got a look, and a texture. Say the texture is gone, the fragrance is gone. So what do you say? Is gul mein kya gul hai? Is gul mein kya gul hai? Jisme bu nahi. Aur is dil mein kya dil hai? Jisme tu nahi. Can you call it a rose? But there is no fragrance, there is no texture, there is no appearance. Can you call it a rose? That is faded away. I think, just throw it away, it's alright. You saw it now, alhamdulillah, just throw it away. No appearance. No fragrance, absolutely. گل میں کیا گل ہے جس میں بو نہیں. بٹ بائی دا سیم ٹوکن وہ کیا دل ہے جس میں تو نہیں. کین یو کال اٹ اے ہارٹ وے اللہ تعالیٰ ہیزن پرمیئیٹڈ دا ویری ریسس آف دا ہارٹ. دیٹ ہارٹ از دا ہارٹ وین وے اللہ تعالیٰ ہیز بین دا تھاٹ آف اللہ تعالیٰ دا ریمبرنس آف اللہ تعالیٰ ہیز گون رائٹ ٹو دا ریسس. I was explaining someone today. Heart is like a land, right? Compare the heart to a land. Because all the good, it starts off from the heart. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدْ. So the good starts off from there. But the heart is likened to a land, right? For the land to take on, the land needs to be right. You've got bush there, you've got stones there, you've got thorns there, you've got a rough, hard land, right? And you want to do some farming and agriculture, can it work out? You've got the land, but that is not for agriculture, not suitable for agriculture. So you have to correct the whole thing, correct the whole process. Now you start it off and you see it's taking on. But the land is there. Are you going to plant your seeds in that type of a land? Can you get anything coming out? وَالَّذِي خَبُوثَ لَا يَخْرُجُ إِلَّا نَكِيدًا. So the land is not suitable. You're planting your expensive seeds. You're putting all your effort there. But nothing is working out. لَا يَخْرُجُ إِلَّا نَكِيدًا. Very little, very deficient crop. Land is not right. So the heart is exactly the same. The heart is not suitable, you're giving the Quran, giving the Hadith, giving the Bayan, but very little is coming out of it. You're giving so much, but the production is very little, like it's a multi-million plant, right? And what you're getting out every day, the yield that you're getting out is 50 rands. Is it worth the while? Multi-million rand you put to set up the plant, and what you're getting out is 10 rand, 50 rand, sometimes nothing, sometimes 50 rand. Is it worth the while? So that means you need to set it up, correct it now. So the needs, you need to correct the whole thing. The land will become right when it is in conformity with the standard given by Allah Ta'ala. إِذَا ذُكِيرَ اللَّهُ وَجِيلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. When you talk about Allah Ta'ala, the heart is shaking, is trembling, there's a tremor in the heart. When you talk of Allah Ta'ala, there is a tremor in the heart. Heart feels afraid. When you talk about Allah Ta'ala, you talk about Qiyamah, you talk about anything from death until Jannah, you talk about these things here, then the heart feels a tremor. So now that's called the right heart. That is called the right land. That's called the land that is fit for agriculture, farming, because it's producing the right thing. But the same heart is not right, then you're giving bayan upon bayan about by doing your business well, seeing that you are distributing the assets rightly, right? You need to divide the assets, do it rightly. Tell him bayan upon bayan, can't get through. By doing your business rightly, can't get through. So what you are talking about is not just touching the heart. You're talking about state, get it right. Talking about wealth, get it right. Talking about amal salih, right? Amal salih, we are restraining it just to namaz. Whereas amal salih will mean your ibadat, your muasharat, your akhlaq, and muamalat, four things, right? But what we're restraining it to, just to namaz, etc. So it's about muamalat, it's about akhlaq, it's about muasharat. It's all these things will amount to Amal al-Salih. Then Amal al-Salih will also refer to Zahiri and Batini. The works that are supposed to be done with the Zahir, the works that are supposed to be done within the heart. All this will amount to Amal al-Salih. We say, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Then it doesn't only refer to external actions. It also refers to the Batini actions. Is there any ayat in the Quran Sharif that will say that this is excluded? All this is counted, that is counted. If the zahir is important, the batin is also important. In fact, hadith where they talk about the mizan, scales, right? So, that person's mizan will be very heavy, whose batin was better than his zahir. Whose batin was far better than his zahir, his mizan will be weightier. Alright, his zahir looked alright, but the batin was too good. So we will not say that don't correct the zahir. But don't you confine all your effort just onto the zahir. My kurta must be like this. And my buttons must be like this. My topi must be like this. And the trousers must be like this, right? So you corrected the zahir, right? But did you look towards the batin? Do you correct the batin? Now, there can be so many situations, and you may just be missing it all. Right? You're not correcting the batin. You're correcting the zahir, but you're not concerned at all about the batin, correcting it. Right? Like I saw the person, I saw him coming to the masjid. So, by the second day or the third day, I'm saying, yeah, where's the ikhlas in these people here? They're just doing things for show, right? Right. Now, I don't even consider the wrong to be a wrong. Where's the ikhlas? And I don't see the ikhlas in these people here. It's just for show. Right? Yeah, see now, his ustad is here, so therefore, he's doing so well. Now, I ask you, Alihada bu'istum, was that the assignment that Allah had given you to check on people, see how they're doing and what they were doing? Was that your assignment? Was that your homework? Or your assignment was check on yourself? What was your assignment? In batini matters, that leave it to Allah Ta'ala. This verse was revealed, Huzil Afwa, right? Now that Afwa got multiple meanings. One meaning is the surface level of action, right? What? Surface level of action. Just be content with that. So thereafter, Rasulullah says, I will just maintain that. If on the surface the action of the Sahaba Ikram seems to be right, I will just keep to that. Now, what is meant there is one is the highest level of righteousness, right? If you talk about namaz, for example, if that namaz is right, it's got that khushu, it's got that khuzu, it's got that concentration, it's got that humility, etc. That namaz is real namaz. And one is, person is conforming, right? He's doing his sunnah, he's doing his faraz, he's doing his regulating his namaz. So, if that person is regular in his namaz, in the outer performances, then just be content with that. Don't go and interrogate the person, you know, are you doing it with khushu? Do you have the presence of Allah Ta'ala at heart? Do you cry in namaz? Don't look for that. It looks alright, but it's enough. Don't go further than that. Don't go and interrogate and don't go too deep with that person. Surface looks right, it's enough. After all, if someone comes and interrogates you, can you pass the test? It's difficult to pass the test. So the surface action looks right, then be relaxed with the person. Don't go deeper than that. So that's the one meaning of Huzil Afwa. So the shaitan works with you in different ways. The one way that the shaitan works, that I am right and that person is always wrong. These people are ganging against me. So, they may not have that intention for the slightest moment. Yeah, why do they exclude me? They were talking just now, and I came in and they kept quiet. So, they're not comfortable with my presence. See. Then from one story, yeah, that last dawat also, they didn't call me. See, conveniently they didn't call me. I'm being so good with them, but this is the response I get. So forget them. I do my thing, they do their thing. Based on what? On suspicion. I say, is that the right thing? Is that the right way? Is that our behavior? And all this wrong stems off my rights are being trampled. what? Why do they have a negative approach towards me? So I am the person. And that was not at all the way of the Sahaba Kiram. Look at the Sahaba Kiram, just give you a small description, right? They came from Makkah Mukarrama, coming to Medina Munawwara, right? Ansar had the heart, separating the half, the home into half. Half you take, half I take. You do it. With the 6 rooms that you got, can you say 3 rooms mine, 3 of yours? Can you say that? 30 shops they got, 15 you take, I take 15. The most you'll do, one shop that is not working so well, or I take it, I put a lot of effort into this, now my 30% you can take, the 70% I will take. And then you will advertise this over the whole world, the person was battling, I set him up, put him up. We talk so much about it, right? So that was the Ansar. يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. We hear these stories, but that story doesn't hit the heart. He's got a guest, just sufficient food for the children. And then they're fixing the lamp and allowing the mehman to eat. Eat to his full, and they are pretending as though they're fixing the lamp and they're eating also. But allow that mehman to eat. That's the Ansar Sahaba. And that is why Allah Ta'ala talks in madah of them, praises them. يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. In the meanwhile now, some lands became available. Bahrain became available, right? So when Bahrain became available, in the meanwhile, the Muhajireen had got their shares in Khaybar, etc. They got it. So they set up. So now a new land came in. They got their structures going very well. Now everything is balanced. Something came up in Bahrain. So that was given now to the Ansar because it was balanced, right? Yeah, they didn't get what they would have expected. It was given to the Muhajirin so that they could be settled as well. Now they are on an equal footing. So something new comes up, and that thing comes up in Khaybar. When it comes up, so the Ansar are saying, until you don't give something to our Muhajirin brothers as well, and they must enjoy from our farms still, they must continue, our business must take care of them. Our businesses must sustain them. See that level. You must dream about it. You can talk about it, it's just a dream. So now, when they show this level of generosity, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, one is he made dua for them, Ansar, wali awlad al-Ansar, wali abnai Ansar, for the children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, dua is made for them, right? And then Nabi Sam tells them, سَيَتَّتَرَىٰ أُسْرَةً. You will find that wealth is coming in and others are given preference over you. What? Wealth is being coming, it's all your initial efforts. You started the whole thing up, right? When you started it off, so now you're seeing the returns. And when you're seeing the returns, now at the time of distribution, preference will be given to others and you will not be given the preference. So, فَاسْبِرُوا حَتَّى تَلْقَوْنِي أَلْحَوْ. What must you do? Then you just be patient. Don't go and make demands for your right. Don't do that. What do you do? فَاسْبِرُوا حَتَّى تَلْقَوْنِي أَلْحَوْ. Be patient until you meet up with me at the house. See the behavior, values. That value is so much. It's so rich. The values are so rich. You ever think sometimes, can you come even a little close to them? Like it's impossible. يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. So we're talking of this person. He's making dua. He's telling Allah Ta'ala that you can try me out. And Allah Pak doesn't like that. And I moved on. I said, this farah, it's 2 words, right? And one is used in maqam mazammat. One is to talk against it, to condemn this practice. You're condemning this premise. This whole thing, this practice, we are condemning it. And one place the Quran Sharif is recommending, one is condemning, one is recommending. فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. Here is condemning and there is recommending. So the place where it's condemning is when Fir'aun or Qarun, his minister, when he's boasting with his wealth. It's قَالَ لَهُ قَوْمُ لَا تَفْرَحُ. Don't boast. See the expertise, the competence, the wealth, etc. you've got. Don't boast with this thing here. It's not a thing to be boastful about. Now, he's an alim, knows the Torah from cover to cover. He's the cousin of Musa alayhi salam, so lineage is very high, right? He's got wealth, like you can't believe, right? So he's got wealth, he's got knowledge, right? And he's got a lineage as well, everything, got everything together. But now, instead of him becoming humble, righteous, and lowering himself, this thing brought him to the level of arrogance and pride. So was he short of a lineage? Was he short of wealth? Was he short of knowledge? Everything he's got, fact. He's got knowledge, everything he's got. But then what came and jammed him up? In simple words, what came and jammed the person? His people warned him, La tafra, don't be boastful. So his response was, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُ وَلَا عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. I got this because of my expertise, me, my competence. I got it because of my own hard effort, my labor, my acumen, me, I did, I made it happen. And his people are warning him, don't do this. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ. This type of an attitude Allah doesn't like. Now, you want to put up a home, 50 million rand, and then you will call your family and say, and you want them to say, wow, wow. When you say wow, then you are ya wassalam, khalas after that. When you say wow, then you are wassalam after that. Then you finish, khalas. So, your piety, your learning, your wealth, whatever it is, your lineage, don't talk about these things here. Don't brag about it. Don't be proud about these things here. So that's the occasion where Allah Ta'ala condemned this practice. You're talking about it, you're praising yourself, right? Not recognizing Allah Ta'ala, but you're attributing the good to yourself, not recognizing Allah Ta'ala. So that's where Allah Ta'ala condemns this. See? Whatever have happened, you're attributing it to yourself, your acumen, your hard work, your competence, your intelligence, how smart you were, and you made it happen. Right? Doesn't it happen? Everybody made it happen. So, see, I made it work. What I did. See my work. And where Allah Ta'ala recommends it, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. The attributing to Allah Ta'ala, attribution to Allah Ta'ala, right? When it's an attribution to Allah Ta'ala, then you are talking about it, attributing the goodness, the beauty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. That you're enjoying it, but you're enjoying attributing the goodness, the wealth, the prosperity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is just entirely His grace. بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ وَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. I'm happy. Yeah, he's also happy. Fir'aun is also happy. But attributing it to himself. Here, you are also happy and celebrating, but you are attributing it entirely to Allah Ta'ala. وَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَوْا. Can you see the difference? It seems like both are celebrating. He's celebrating, he's celebrating. He's rejoicing, he's rejoicing. But this person, his rejoice is self-centered. And this person's rejoice is Allah-centered. That for the gift of Allah Ta'ala, I'm celebrating. I'm happy that Allah Pak has given us. You did the whole month of Ramadan, and you are at the end you are celebrating. وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. You have completed the month of fasting, and then وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ, and you're thanking, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His blessing. He blessed you with the opportunity of fasting, attributing it entirely to him. So we are talking about a land, you know. This is where we started. And that land, if it's right, then you get the right type of prosperity coming up. Everything flourishing. The land is right. So exactly the heart is right, then everything is flourishing. Now, when the heart is right, then you just sow one seed, and you just see things coming out, sprouting, man. Just one sow, you just threw a few seeds, and then you're just sprouting, man. Sprouting. Like these people that come from Malawi, they tell you, hey, that land is like gold, man. You just throw a mango seed there, next year you come, that thing is already shot up, man. Hardly any maintenance, that thing is just shooting up. So that land is so good, that heart is so good, that you just administer the word of Allah Ta'ala, and I think you just flourish. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Sahaba Ikram, إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِيلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. When the name of Allah Ta'ala is taken, then the hearts are feeling tremor. They're tremoring. That means the heart is so good, you just have to talk of Allah Ta'ala, and they're moving. We just say this straight away. Abdullah ibn Umar, you know, the standard was too high, really. Sometimes I think the standard was too high. He got a flourishing business, Abdullah ibn Umar. What business was his? His business was Muzarat. Muzarat, what it is? Right? They got a farm, right? And you don't think that farm is like your backyard. No. You think your farm, think like your backyard, you got 2-3 trees. No. That date trees, and one of Sahab, you got about 10,000 trees, right? Date trees. Medina Munawwara and surrounding, then you got a double yield, two yields. One yield is about 300 kilos. You look at Ajwa, right? That grade you're looking at Ajwa, in season that thing is worth about 200 riyals. Count that, it stands how much? 1 kilo? 1,000 riyals, right? And then one tree is giving about 200 kilos. As giving a double yield. So one tree now, just calculate now, what a yield one tree is giving. And then he's got about 10,000 trees with that. Huh? I don't know, anybody can do the math. You also shaking your head. Too much, that is too much. One of the Sahab is giving so much. He's giving so much, huh? So much. You see that? So Abdullah ibn Umar is saying, right? But I want to show you what was the level of the heart, the goodness of the heart, what it is. Now, Rafi ibn Khadij, radiallahu anhu, says, Naha an Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anil muzara. Right. The Rasul prohibited this practice of muzarat. What is muzarat? Muzarat was, it's my farm, I don't have the time to do all the work. I said, right, I give you the farm. 50% of the crops are mine, 50% is yours. You do the work, take 50%, and I take the 50%. So whatever ratio they agree upon. So, Rafi ibn Khadij, radiallahu anhu, most of the hadith that revolve around Muzarat is coming under the authenticity of Rafi ibn Khadij. He said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he disapproved of this. Now, Abdullah ibn Umar says, I remember right till the end, Rasulullah sanctioned this thing. He approved this thing. Right. And there was a lot of benefit for us. I'm showing you what one sahabi, one farm, what he's yielding, right? But he says now, but how can they be good when Rasulullah has stopped this thing here? And maybe Rafi ibn Khadij had heard it, what I didn't hear. He heard it later. I haven't heard it. When I haven't heard it, leave this practice, khalas. One shot, in one stroke, to leave out a multi-million business by easy, asane. Well, that was the heart. In one stroke, right? Those ulama that say that there is an explanation to the hadith, the explanation is valid, right? The Rasulullah did prohibit this, but what? Under what circumstance? There was a circumstance where he said it's not permissible. Like, you are a muzarat, right? For the whole plantation you got. Now, the farm belongs to me. So I'm telling you, see, you'll give me 30%. You'll work the whole farm. The whole farm you'll work. Ma al ma'adiyanat Balal, Jadawil, all the crops that are coming around the river or the stream, that will belong to me as well. 30% plus this will come to me. The rest is yours. Now that is impermissible. Why? It's now tamliq al-khatar. Because the possibility is that only that area may yield. Right? Because it's near the river, it's near the stream, that thing may flourish and the other may not be yielding as good. So now, this man stands to lose. Right? Because of this type of a condition. So Rasulullah didn't allow this. But he says, I don't know. Abdullah ibn Umar says, I don't know whether it was a general command or it was something restricted to this type of a situation. But no, what Nabi Sallam told us is greater for us. Was end of the story. But that was the heart. Now, when that was the heart, up till now, you get the Faruqi Khandan, the lineage of Umar radiallahu anhu prospering. If there's any dini khidmat, then it is this Khandan. Hazrat Thami Sahib Rahmat, what was he? Faruqi. Mujaddid al-Fasani, what was he? Faruqi. Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib, what was he? Faruqi. See that? So, that thing paid out very heavy. It paid out what they did. That seeds of taqwa that they had sown, that thing went on for thousands of years and is still prospering till this day. So there was no loss. Outwardly it seemed it was a material loss. You know, I could have explained the hadith that Rasulullah was referring to a particular situation. It wasn't a general command. It was something for a specific situation. So no, we don't know. Perhaps Rafi has learned something that we didn't learn. So we're not going to go on this way. We're just leaving it out entirely. But now you see what his investment, what it yielded. 1,000 years, and I think he's just prospering. It's prospering. The dini khidmat is in their family, is running. Mujaddid al-Fasani, rahmatullahi, he brought about a revival to India over a millennium, 1,000 years. If you look at his whole story and how it worked, right, I tell you that largely India is dependent on Hazrat Mujaddid al-Fasani rahmatullahi. All the reformatory works he did, right? Because everything was just moving towards Shiaism. And he saw that thing. That he was moving towards Shiaism. All the rulers, the emperors, all are moving, they're encouraging, they're enforcing these type of things. Like how now LG has become a law, right? So to oppose it is an easy thing. For the common person, we'll talk about it to a restricted gathering, but now to the normal person, he feels subdued. He has to succumb to pressure, right? He can't move against the wave. Can't move against the current. So when it's a government pressure, it becomes tremendously difficult. They have to just move with it. And now this one man, Mujaddid al-Fasani rahmatullahi, and he is battling against an empire that is wealthier than the whole of America at that time. Because India was a trade port. If you look at India at that time, 500 years ago, was a trade port, the center. All the wealth, they call it the GDP, right? What do they call it? 30% was India, the whole world at that time. So it was very, very prosperous. Extremely prosperous. They had the power, they had the clout, they had everything. But this one man, he stood firm, where people saw his firmness, and you know, his influence. What happens is the people around the government, they will look at people that are having some influence. He's got an influence. So, when he's got the influence, then they become envious of him. Because, hey, simple little man, and he's got so much of influence, right? So that envy starts off at that point. When that envy starts off at that point, now, they went to the emperor at that time, it was Akbar, Akbar's father, Babur, whoever it was, went up to him and said, this man here got no respect for the king. He is defiant. He can be a state threat, a threat to the state. He's defiant. Call him, you'll see, he got no respect. He doesn't recognize the state. You talk of India 450, 500 years ago. So he's called in, summoned, coming in. And now, The protocol was that you bow down to the king at the time. And he blatantly refused. He said, see, we confirmed that he doesn't want to recognize the state. And he's got such a big following. So what's going to happen to you? So he imprisoned him. Akbar imprisoned him. And then Akbar passed away. Whether he made Tawbah or didn't make Tawbah, Al-Mu'an Thami Sabran said he didn't make Tawbah. He called a group of ulama-i kiram and he says, is there any way for my Tawbah to be forgiven, my Tawbah to be accepted? Make Tawbah. Alright, the damages that he made was also tremendous. Tremendous damage. Right? Like you talk of Sir Sayyid Ahmad, right? Damages that he caused was tremendous. Al-Mu'an Thami Sabran has called about in Imdad al-Fatawa, I think the 6th volume, about 30 pages. The corruption that he's caused, right? In Imaniyat, Qaid, terrible, terrible, extremely terrible. Right? Rejecting this, calling, making it look just like a deen or the akhirat, like something spiritual, just a spiritual experience. Right? Now some buzur gets saw that Allah gets forgiven, etc., etc. Now you can't use this dream for the person being right. You say, alright, the dream was right. Whichever way Allah forgave him, forgive him. But now, use his dream and say now, that because this person has saw this dream here, therefore he is a righteous person, that's not right. I heard this type of story, not that I didn't hear. You heard the good side of Sir Sayyid, but you have to apprise the public of the wrong, of the corruption. Now, that was our ulama kiram. They did recognize, but they also notified, they brought it to the attention that this man is corrupt. Sir Sayyid died, so they worked out his death anniversary in numerical value, right? And they said, Hufira lahu. That if you look at the numerical value of the date he passed away, then it comes to Hufira lahu. Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi, when he heard this, he said, but can't you say, Hal Hufira? He changed the whole thing. Hufira lahu means he is forgiven. And hal hufira, same alphabets are used, same, right? But it means, is he forgiven? Now he had to take the stand, because this man's beliefs were totally corrupt. Right? And now, if the people are not apprised about this, they'll say, alright, he got his jannat, man. All his corrupt beliefs, everything was left on side, and he got to jannat. So what's going to happen to the people? Won't the iman, everything get affected? Someone had a dream, right? Mullah Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi, right? He said, hey, are dekho, Sayyid Sahab ki bhi bakshish ho rahi hai. I read that article, long time ago, 25, 30, iski bakshish ho rahi hai. Right? Now you can't use this and say now that in spite of his corruption, corrupt beliefs, etc., he was a favorite of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, he had some good things in him. We will not dispute the good in him, right? Like the good in him that I heard from Madhaji Ramad when I saw firstly was someone went to a government office, right, in time of the English, looking for a job, right? Battling for a job, eventually came to a government office and he introduced himself, you know me, I'm the son in law of Sayyid Ahmed, Sir Sayyid Ahmed, right? Now, the English really respected him, see, because he was singing the tune. He was playing the tune. And he's playing the tune. Why he was playing the tune? He says, my intention is to secure the material of the Muslims. To secure them materially. That was his intention. So his intention was not bad. But the line that he used was wrong. Because a person like Ramon Thamisa, so such a balanced person, he had about 25-30 pages dedicated to show the flaws in his belief, right? He must have been really wrong for Mu'ad to write 25-30 pages against a person. Right? So now this person has come here to a government office and he's taking the name of Sayyid Sahab, right? So you know me, I'm so and so. The government is recognizing him because he's playing the tune, talking everything in their favor. They already posted him to a position where they call him Sir. So the English were very smart, you see. They won't give money, they'll give you a title. Money costs us something. Title, So you think, you know, hey, what a title I got. With the Sheikhul Hadith, falau, falau. Let's give you a title, bribe you with a title. So in order to pay off anything of the coffers, let's give you a title, finish. So they gave him a title, Sasayyid. Now the whole world is, the whole India is thinking, hey, this man is great because the English has given him this type of a title. Even the surname that you hear, Bahadur, it's an English title. People think it's a great, great now. You've seen the government well. Some situation it was, but you sided with the government, they give you a title. So the English were very smart, even up to now, up to recently, about 50, 60 years ago. So, if they want you to do something, you know, something great, right, something that is a little bit sensitive and great, so they would trace your lineage, right? This person here, his family, his father, grandfather, great-grandfather, 5, 6 generation. Did he agree with the English style? Did he work for us? Was he faithful to the English government? They look at all these things. If he was faithful, then they'll give him the job. Because they know now, alright, this person here, he was faithful to us. So we could manipulate the person. So if that was his great-great-grandfather, so his great-great-grandchild also, we can manipulate him. It's the same blood stream. The very same blood is moving around, see. So that's how they check the person. Now we think, you know, I got a government position, English recognized me, the Queen offered the gift to me personally. Why? All corrupt people. One is the gangster, one is the head of the gangsters. But this glorified. Gangster, but glorified. Go and see the pictures, go and see that what happens there. Well, we don't see the whole picture, just see one side of it, and very good. The picture is pictured so well that they cover themselves. But go and dig and find, just go and see what corruption. We didn't see these things here. They were in the English records. In the English records, they wouldn't hesitate in burning a Muslim alive, burning him alive, right? They won't hesitate in peeling out his skin. They won't hesitate in throwing his body and let animals eat him up alive. They won't hesitate in doing. And they will praise the person that has done it. They won't hesitate in putting a Muslim into a pig skin and setting him alive. They did all this. Thousands of bodies there. So it's the same blood that is running through. They're not for you and they'll never be for you. So don't ever think that they will be for you. They are for their money. Whatever gives them that material security, they will do it. So they have to say to you, sir, thank you. They have to act very honest and faithful. Give you a pension, retirement. They will do all these things here. But the loyalty is not with you. Loyalty is something else. So Sayyid now, he's thinking of how to secure the Muslim. So now, Hazrat, you should give the story. But they also will speak about the corruption. So that you don't get misled. Now you just heard one story, and then you're getting misled that it's unfair. So anyway, this person comes, and he's asking for a job. In the meanwhile, the English officer is interviewing him. He said, yeah, oh, you say it's Sir Sayyid's son-in-law. He said, yeah, yeah. In the meanwhile, secretly he went and phoned up. Sir Sayyid, I'm talking to so-and-so. Governor, I'm speaking. This person, is he your son-in-law? He's come to ask for a job. He said, yes, definitely he's my son-in-law. And you better give him the job. Anyway, the job is all confirmed. He's getting a good salary. Everything worked out. Now, after a year or something, now, he went to offer his token of appreciation, you know, because of you. You know, I confirmed this job here, although I'm not your son-in-law, but you kept my respect, and I secured the job. Now, alhamdulillah, I'm in a good position. Now, look at Sir Sayyid's response. He says, see, I have 2 daughters, and both are married. Had I had the 3rd daughter, I would have given it to you. But from today, I will treat you as my son-in-law, and the gifts and the favors that I have done for my own children and my own daughter-in-laws, I will pass it on to you as well. And you will come like they come, you will take the gifts like they take, and you will be shown the same type of respect. But now you see the person. Personally, you're a good person. Right? But now, you did some very stupid things, extremely. Now that had to be brought out to the public. failure to bring it out, obviously you're causing mischief now. Right? There was a good side of him, so we recognize the good, but that doesn't mean we give it such a color that we will glossify the bad of his, wrong of his, confusing the Muslim. We don't do that. What happens to us is when we like the person, when we like him so much, we'll take him above the arsh. And if we dislike the person for something, some discrepancy, we'll throw him down, tahta sara, finish. There's no place for him. But a balanced approach was Abu Zuhanadin, Ulama Idiyoban. They'll speak good about the person, where he deserves. But if he needs to be exposed, then they'll expose him as well. Where he needs to be exposed, they'll expose the person. So that we don't bear the sin of concealing the person. And we don't bear the sin of misleading people. Now if we conceal the person, and hence people were misled, won't we be responsible as well? Because we concealed him. So we exposed the person. Maududi, if he did good, right, then Mullah Ali Mir Sahib spoke about him, about the heroes, saviors of Islamic spirit, right? But when it came to his notice and attention that his thinking is totally wrong, then he wrote a kitab. Alright, not so hardly word, no, not word is so hard. Right? Naturally he was a very soft person, so he couldn't word it so hard. But he had to then at some point make a retraction. Well, Rai Puri Sahib had gone to Lahore, right? There were some of his murids that were collecting up in Lahore. And Mawla Ali Mir Sahib was also a great Khalifa and a murid of Mawla Rai Puri Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi. In the meanwhile, Mawla Ali Mir is giving bayans there in Lahore. And people writing up for the Shaykh al-Hadith Rahmatullahi Alayhi that Mawla Ali Mir is here. So he's writing back and he says, you see, Mawla Ali Mir is speaking in favor of Maududi. So, unki bayanat se mutasir nahi hona. And all people are writing up to him, says, Ali Mir Sahib, Lahore mein hai, he's in Lahore, and he's speaking in favor of Maududi. So don't ever get influenced by his talks. Right. Now I heard this about 10 times from Hazrat Mustafa Rahmatullahi. Now that kitab that I wanted to see the reference, I saw the reference also. Well, Ali Mir Sahib heard it so much, so he wrote back to the Shaykh Rahmatullahi, "Aap mutmain rahe, main khud main apni taqreer se mutasir nahi hota hu." You can be rest assured, I'm talking about him, but I'm not affected about him. So at some point he had to retract. Because they were looking, alright, the man did some good, right, to this university students and all that, right, he brought them. But his beliefs were wrong, upside down. So he had to be exposed. Now, failure to expose him, what would it have resulted in? So, the Shaykh, Imam Ilyas Sahib, Imam Madani Sahib, Imam Thawiz, everybody rejected him after that. And they exposed him, properly they exposed him. Alright, some of the good that he did, he spoke about it, but obviously the wrong was far in excess of the good that he had done. So, they had to expose him, at some point they had to expose him. Now, we think, no, let's just talk about it, be good, don't talk ill. We didn't understand the deen. That's why I say we didn't get the zok of the deen, therefore we have got this type of an attitude. Otherwise, hadith is clear. Look in the under the verse, La yuhibbu Allahu al-jahra bis-su'i min al-qawli illa man zulim. Right? Allah Pak doesn't like a publicity of wrong. Yes, where someone is being oppressed, then the oppressed can publicize it. This person is a zalim. He's looking out for aid now, looking for assistance. So he's got the right to go and publicize the zulm that has been done. Right? Otherwise now the mazlum is saying, the one that is oppressed is saying, right, that he can oppress, but I mustn't speak about it at all. So there is no room for me. Where do I go and sort myself out? I must allow them to oppress me, but I've got no recourse to look for any type of an exit. So this is an exception to the case, you can't publicize the person. So that people know, right, you know what, this person is wrong, and you need to be careful about him as well. I got hit down, he got hit down, this person got hit down. Now nobody's talking about him. You're waiting for 50 people to get hit down, and then him to be exposed. Why? From the beginning you can see so many people getting hit down. Understand that this is not the right person. Right? Under that you got the hadith, it says that when it's a fajr, this person is doing wrong openly, then expose him. What? The hadith that says expose him. And the reason is obvious. When it was your personal property, you were hurt personally, then you had the heart to go and expose him. Now when deen is getting damaged, then you don't expose the person. Is that fair? Your personal things, right? And they're being damaged now. When they're being damaged, then you want to go and talk about it. Okay, this person is wrong. You know, he took my money away, not paying me. You know, what promises he made to Kalabak's name and all that. And I forwarded him so much. 500,000, 50,000. And he's not even seeing me, hello. So you're going to talk about it to 100 people. Nobody will think wrong about it. But if it is that he's damaging deen, he's encroaching into the parameters of deen, he's overstepping his mark. They say, no, I must be good, must be tolerant Muslims. Don't be intolerant, be tolerant. So when it was your property, why weren't you tolerant? When it was your own property, why weren't you tolerant then? Tolerant only comes when it's Islam. So Islam must be the victim in every situation. Don't talk about it. If your property is getting affected, then speak out against him. I ask you, is that insaf? So therefore the hadith comes that when he's a fajr, then expose the person. Show the wrong. Yes, you don't instigate, you don't spur up the person, but you have to warn that this person is not right, his thinking is not right, his behavior is not right. So you're warning the person. Now, that person became, he was influenced, overawed by his speech, etc. 10 years later, he got to know that he was wrong. And he got to know that you knew that it was wrong, but you didn't bring it to his attention. How does he feel? For 10 years, you allowed me to grope in the darkness. Now, after 10 years, you come and tell me. Like if it was your daughter, for example, you knew the person was wrong, right? Wrong, he's drugging, etc. And you don't notify the person. Now, they're married, and they've got 1-2 children, and you can see the problems, right? And you don't know what to do. Now you tell the person, but before the marriage, I knew this person was wrong. Why? I won't be surprised if you swear words. Why didn't you notify me at that time? Now, they're married, they've got 2-3 children now, and now you bring it to my attention. So when it's a personal thing, it's a personal thing that we talk about it. But if it is a thing to do with deen, well, it's alright, be tolerant by it. It's a confusion of the mind. We're talking of Sir Sayyid, there was a good side of it as well. So, I showed you one where he secured him the job, right? Now, one beggar is coming and Sir Sayyid got a guest. He's got a guest in his lounge. It's like a glass door. And he's seeing the beggar coming. He's washing himself in the lake there. And Sayyid says, see, this person will come here and he'll make some terrible claims. I'm not going to give him anything. You can make out, no, this is the person. He's going to come washing himself. He washed himself, put a turban nicely, looked like a big buzruk, knocked at the door. So he ignored him. So he knocked again. When he knocked again, and then he says, you ignoring me, jabke in aankhon ne Ghulam Ali ko dekha. Ghulam Ali is now Mirza Mazhar Jana Jana Madar is Khalifa. Right? Ghulam Ali. That's, Allama Alusi, etc., Sheikh. So, you are ignoring me when these eyes had seen Ghulam Ali. I mean, you had to say this. See that Sayyid Sahib just got up. So, Sayyid just got up. And he took up, he opened up his chest, took out the money, take what you want. Take what you want. Respected him, everything, send him off. And then he says, he's taking a bird, and says, I got away very cheap, you know. If you ask me for my whole palace, I would have given it to you. Now, one said the respect that he had, that was also something to recognize. But the corruption he had also, that also had to be exposed. Otherwise, it was an imbalance. You show the good side of the person, and leave the people to grope in the dark, right? Just show the good side, and let them carry on. Or the other way is that just speak about the evil only and don't talk about the good, again it's an imbalance. So personally, in his personal self, perhaps he must have been good. His intention must have been good. But the approach that he used definitely was off. Definitely. Therefore, all our ulama, without any exception, all of them, if you look at the kitabs, all condemned. This is not right, that's not right. Otherwise, the tafsir that he had written would have been a point of reference. He's got a tafsir also. And his tafsir is full of, is loaded with mistakes. He's not believing in jinnat, malaika, talking of jannat, jahannam, like a spiritual experience, like how a modernist will think. He's speaking in that tone, that language. So they had to condemn him. There's no other way. Otherwise, people would have been just following him, groping in the dark, getting misled. Right? So they had to bring them online. Therefore, they had to write against him. But otherwise, in his personal self, he was a good person. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't talk about the wrong mistakes that he made. Now, someone will say, no, but he's a Sayyid now. Then don't talk too much against him. Yes, he's a Sayyid. You will not say that he's not a Sayyid. But that doesn't now indemnify him that we don't talk of the mistakes. If, for example, now, if it's a Sayyid that is performing the namaz and he's making a serious mistake, would you say now that he's a Sayyid, so don't correct him? Yes, we will respect him, and respectfully we will correct him. We will respect him, but with all the respects, otherwise say, oh, he's a Sayyid now, you don't correct him. It's against respect. Now, this is where there's an imbalance.